Hi, I'm Satyajit.
Hi, I'm Rachita.
Welcome to Paperback by the Open Library Project.
We have as our guests today Aditi Guha and Sandeep Ramesh. Aditi and Sandeep are storytellers and travelers. Aditi discusses Eat, Pray, Love, and Sandeep shares what stood out for him in the book Sapiens in the first half of the episode.
In the second half, we discuss Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, Becoming by Michelle Obama, Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, and The Siege by Adrian Levy and Kathy Scott Clark. Happy listening.
Yesterday afternoon, I went to the soccer game with Luca Spaghetti and his friends. We were there to watch Lazio play. There are two soccer teams in Rome, Lazio and Roma. The rivalry between the teams and their fans is immense and can divide otherwise happy families and peaceful neighborhoods into civil war zones. It's important that you choose early in life whether you are a Lazio fan or a Roma fan, because this will determine to a large part whom you hang out with every Sunday afternoon for the rest of time. Luca has a group of about 10 close friends who all love each other like brothers, except that half of them are Lazio fans and half of them are Roma fans. They can't help it. They were all born into families where the loyalty was already established. Luca's grandfather gave him his first sky blue Lazio jersey when the boy was just a toddler. Luca otherwise will be a Lazio fan until he dies. My first soccer game with Luca Spaghetti was, for me, a delirious banquet of Italian language. I learned all sorts of new and interesting words in that stadium, which they don't teach you in school. There was an old man sitting behind me, stringing together such a gorgeous flower chain of curses as he screamed down at the players on the field. I don't know all that much about soccer, but I sure didn't waste any time asking Luca inane questions about what was going on in the game. All I kept demanding was, "Luca, what did the guy behind me just say? What does the caffone mean?" And Luca, never taking his eye from the field, would reply, "Asshole. It means asshole." I would write it down, then shut my eyes and listen to some more of the old man's rant, which I can attempt to translate as, "Come on, come on, come on, Albiteni, come on. Okay, okay, my boy, perfect, brilliant, brilliant, come on, come on. Go, go, in the goal. That is it. There is it. There is it. My brilliant boy. My dear. There it is. There it is. Ah, go f*** yourself, you son of a bitch. Shithead. Asshole. Traitor. Mother of God." Oh, it was such an exquisite and lucky moment in my life to be sitting right in front of this man. I loved every word out of his mouth. I wanted to lean my head back into his old lap and let him pour his eloquent curses into my ears forever.
Thank you, Aditi Guha. That was an extract from the book Eat, Pray, Love by Elizabeth Gilbert. We'll be right back after this to discuss the book in further detail. Welcome to Paperback by the Open Library Project. I am your co-host Satyajit, otherwise known as Onion Knight in most food circles. I'm hosting this podcast with my co-founder at the Open Library Project, Rachita Sharma.
Hi guys, my name is Rachita. I'm an ex-banker, social impact entrepreneur, podcaster, writer, publisher, and inveterate learner. The Open Library Project is a curated library service which is offered to corporates on a subscription basis. The idea here is to create value, build a knowledge community, and encourage a growth mindset amongst our members.
Today we have with us on the show Aditi and Sandeep Ramesh. Aditi is a consumer insights manager by profession, but is a storyteller by passion. She is a WIP writer and she hopes by spreading the word, she will be forced to complete the book. Sandeep works at Google where he sells advertising solutions, but mostly he wants to travel the world. He recently visited his 50th country. Other times he's geeking out on cricket trivia or futuristic trends. Welcome to the show, guys. It's great to have you all here.
Thank you for having us.
So
very, very well read. With the right amount of emotion. Super exciting start to the podcast.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit, Aditi. First, we'll start with, since you read the extract, what is it about this book, Eat, Pray, Love, that stands out for you? It's an all-time favorite with a lot of people, you know, especially after the movie came out, it got like insanely famous. So what stood out about the book for you?
So ever since I decided to write my memoir, mm-hmm. I have been actively reading a lot of memoirs. And that's one of the reasons I picked it up. And I have read it very recently because for a very long time, I thought it was a typical chick flick.
Right.
But I just loved the author's ability to take us to different places. Like I have been to Italy. I've been to Rome, but I saw it in a different light.
Right.
Like every time she talks about a pizza that she's going to eat, I feel I could taste it. And I think that's the kind of that kind of level of description is what any writer would aspire.
Right.
So for me, that's why this book was so special.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So the book is about, you know, this woman who finds herself again while... So is there something in particular? Because it's a memoir, right? And you're also writing a memoir.
Yeah.
So is there... And you've been reading other memoirs as well. So like anything in particular that's different about this book in terms of not just the writing style or maybe just the way she's gone through her life is different or...
So one thing is that there is no high ground.
Okay.
Which I really like.
Okay. Yeah.
Like she isn't talking from a pedestal.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that she has actually touched on three things that everybody likes.
Right.
Yeah.
You like, we all like to eat. We all like that spiritual element that sometimes you have in self-discovery. Mm-hmm. And of course about falling in love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was very curious about the love part because a large part of the book I'm writing is a love story. It's my, how I met my husband.
Wow.
So hence I was very curious about how she brings that to life.
Mm-hmm.
How does that go about?
Right.
But generally speaking, there is a lot of humility, I felt, and humor in the author.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very self-deprecating, which is very refreshing.
Extremely honest, which is what's beautiful because it's just laid out there and, you know, all the strengths, the weaknesses, everything is beautifully explained and given its due credit. So it's a very beautifully written book.
Yeah. So, Sandeep, what do you think about this book? Have you read it yourself?
No.
Or have you seen the movie?
I've seen the trailer.
Has it inspired the love story which you're going to read
YouTube?
About?
On YouTube.
It's inspired travel.
Yeah.
Right. And so the book we're going to be discussing with you is Sapiens by Professor Harari. Right. So, Rachita and I had the chance to meet Professor Harari in December when he came here to give a lecture at Taj Lands End. And I think it's been the highlight of our last year that we actually got to meet him in a pre-media event where we were in the first row.
Yeah.
And then after that, we spoke to him for like 5-10 minutes and it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was excellent.
Tell us what about Sapiens stands out for you because it's a book that's been discussed with us a lot. It's surprising how many people have read Sapiens. I would say that...
And it's surprising how everybody has, you know, a different perspective or something different that stood out for them in the book. So, you know, tell us why it's one of your favorite books.
So at the outset, I am probably unusual for someone who comes on the podcast discussing books that I don't read fiction.
So ours is a totally non-fiction podcast. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure people.
Place for you.
I'm pretty sure people who come here read fiction or at least, you know, they have some sort of exposure to it. I don't. And I would what you would typically classify as a proper engineering MBA geek, right? I don't have the kind of depth and exposure to even literature as much as somebody's humanities and arts would have. And I think that's the fact that it's actually written in a almost, he's a professor, so in a professorial way, it's a construct that is less artsy and more towards science.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's what gets a lot more new people reading the book.
Right.
Who otherwise wouldn't even be that much into literature. So maybe a lot more people who would have otherwise not into reading books, watching videos or something else, have now been introduced to books because he makes it simple, keeps it scientific, and you know you don't necessarily have to be a big book lover or a fiction reader for you to appreciate some of this.
Definitely, I think one of the things that stands out in Sapiens, like even though it's so well researched and there's this huge amount of data in there, it never feels like that. It feels like you know you're just on a journey of the planet. And you're just getting this. And what I love personally is the perspective it gives you in terms of you've never thought about things like that before. So that's put a lot of things in a new light for me. especially things like, you know, how he says that we've become much less aggressive as a species, you know, over time, and as compared to what the public opinion is now, that we are overly aggressive. But in the context of long
time,
we've become as a species very less aggressive as compared to how we were earlier individually. So tell me, like, what about what else about the book kind of stands out for you?
See, I'm constantly I think one of the process of evolution for me also in general is constantly looking for answers to open loops that are causes of tension for you, and you're always wondering why is this that way, etc. And as you get older, you get those answers and you're at peace. I think this accelerated that process for me significantly. For example, his entire description of the foragers, the what we were before we became modern humans, and the fact that that is actually 90% of the time that has elapsed, which means that a lot of how we react and why we react can be traced back to how we were in that time. A lot of our food habits, the reason we crave carbs, the reason that our panic systems are aligned that way, the reason we stress so much, it just makes it simpler to understand, this is
makes
why
we
react the way we do. Even his, I mean, this is the first time I'm seeing this unique theory of the ability to believe and imagine myths together is what helped us even progress. And then suddenly it explains money and religion. And then people say money is the root cause of evil, religion is the worst thing to have happened. Then you realize if not for these two things, humanity couldn't have scaled. So then, okay, that's another loop that's closed. So I think it answers many of these open loops that usually trouble us,
I think it was illuminating for everyone who read it. That's why it sort of got world-renowned fame and great read, So Aditi, coming back to you, what else about Eat, Pray, Love do you really like? Like, do you guys travel a lot? Sandeep, you have visited 50 countries. Wow, that's amazing, man.
That is something.
What about you, Aditi? Where are you on that count?
I'm still in the 30s.
In the 30s. Oh my God, that's so bad. How dare you? So Eat, Pray, Love has a lot of travel in it as well, right?
Yeah.
Did it inspire you to travel? Or you mentioned that your memoir is a love story. It's your love story. And so is it kind of going to be...
It's definitely going to have those 30 countries involved.
So give us an idea of like what this book will probably look like since...
So, my book,
that was a long question.
So what I... Okay, first question answer. So basically, the what I liked about the book is I also felt that how open the author was to new experiences. I found that extremely inspiring. You know, because there's a point where she's in a temple and she's scrubbing the floors. And that's what she does for like 30 days. And how she has met friends and they have unique names for her. Like one guy keeps calling her grocery because she eats so much. And that is the kind of thing I like because, you know, when you're writing a memoir, no matter what your intention is, you when you put it out there, you have no control of how anybody's going to perceive it. Yet you need to have the courage to do it because somehow you feel you must do it. So I think that there are so many places where you can judge anybody, but I felt that it's all right. It's more important to put it out there than to worry about people's perception.
And also, like, you know, as she's traveling, she's doing whatever is famous in that place. You know, the local food or the local, you know, beliefs is what she's following, which is really nice because I think that's the best way to travel, where you're actually experiencing.
You become a local.
Right. You become a local and you experience it the way it should be. So, I'm sure that's very inspiring for y'all when y'all travel.
It is also because I travel more like a tourist.
He
is more of a traveler.
So
there are many times that there were intersections in the book that I can feel that.
Nice.
So Sandeep, tell us, you work at Google, right? And so what do you do at Google?
If you know how Google makes its money, it's through advertising sales. I lead a large vertical called media entertainment. And that's how we get it. It's a little boring stuff, I guess. It's like how the money is made, actually.
It's not boring
that's
at all.
Now we have your attention. But yeah, so let's go one by one. But tell me who should be reading Eat, Pray, Love, and you know, who would you recommend Sapiens to?
I think Eat, Pray, Love is for anyone who is in the process of self-exploration, if somebody is also writing any kind of memoir. And most importantly, I don't think people should... I think a lot of guys think it's for girls.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, is it a book for girls?
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
I really think that you can... anybody can. Everybody should read it. Also, like, I thought that the way she transports you, which I've said before also, is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great. So Sandeep, what about you? Is it only for engineers who want to accelerate their illumination process?
No, I think this... See, if you're a regular book lover, you will anyway read this.
Yeah.
So that's okay. But if you're not heavy, if you're not a heavy book lover, or if you're not into books that much, you should definitely read this. Because
it's a good way to start. Though.
It's a good encapsulation of human history. And that's a good point of view to have for many things going forward. So if you don't read too many books, you might start with this.
Great.
Yeah, that's a good one for Sapiens.
Yeah, that's the first input
that we've not heard of.
Yeah, great. So we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back after this. Welcome back, guys. We still have with us Aditi Guha and Sandeep Ramesh. Hey, guys. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. An interesting first half.
Yeah, especially when you get a new take on Sapiens, it's like definitely interesting. So, Aditi, the next book that you want to discuss is Artist's Way by Julia Cameron.
Yeah.
So, tell me a little bit about this book.
So, this is a book I didn't want to read.
Okay.
Hmm. Okay.
Why didn't you want to read it?
Because, it was called Artist's Way, right. And that was the time I hadn't even met my husband. I wasn't considering writing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, this is for artists. Why am I even reading this?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this is as self-help a book can get. Okay. So everything about that book is self-help. Is do these 10 things kind of a thing. But it works for me because I am very type A. So if you tell me 10 things, even if it's a book, I will do those 10 things.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So I very reluctantly took it up. And what is very famous about Artist's Way is something called morning pages, which the author keeps telling you to write. So you have to show up on paper and write 3 pages first thing in the morning.
Okay.
And then there's also something called artist date, that you go out alone and explore your artistic side.
Right.
And I didn't even know what to write for the first few days. Like, what am I supposed to write every day for 3 days? So half of the time I used to discuss what I want to wear to work.
Right.
With the paper.
Okay.
That's all I used to write. I want to wear this. I want to wear these shoes. That's it. But it has been a revelation because now for the last 4 years, every single day I write 3 pages.
Wow, that's consistent and amazing.
And it's an amazing thing where they're not be artist, but I think anybody and everybody has a creative bent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You like, for example, the podcast that you guys are doing is creative in its nature.
Yeah.
It just connects you very, it really connects you with your subconscious. Mm-hmm. Julia Cameron is the ex-wife of Martin Scorsese. And she has worked with a lot of Hollywood people. So these are the research I did before I convinced myself to write this book.
Is it worth the investment?
Is it worth the time? Yeah. The author actually, interestingly, claims that people who have done the whole Artist's Way, who follow it, actually find love.
Oh.
And I found my husband exactly... I think 6 weeks into doing this book. So it's a good good ad.
good endorsement for the book.
It's a great plug for a self-help book. You know? Like, the underlying thing is you're going to find love if you do these 10 things.
That's true. But like you said, right, you know, the book asks you to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it's... actually a self-help book because it's making you do something which is very common in meditation.
Yeah.
That is getting up in the morning and writing down your thoughts.
Yeah.
Which basically makes you more aware of yourself throughout the day because you are, you know, sort of starting your day by focusing on what you're thinking about. So it makes you more mindful. And so I think anyone looking for love must read this book.
We find there's a lot of similarities in books that are not even of the same discipline, you know. While doing the podcast, while discussing with so many different guests, we found like similarities in history and business and war and I don't know, some other thing.
Football maybe.
So, Sandeep, the next book we want to discuss is one of my favorite books, Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. In fact, we just got, Racheta just gifted me Talking to Strangers by Malcolm Gladwell, his new book. And we were lucky enough to get a signed copy from Bloomsbury.
So,
Barnes and Noble. So, Sandeep, tell me a little bit about why Outliers stands out for you. Are you an outlier yourself?
I wish. maybe one day. You know, it started off...
It's a good place to start, though.
Yeah.
At least wishing for it.
I think the premise, the initial premise of the book, which starts with, say, 10,000 hours of practice for mastery, struck a real chord with me because I used to play table tennis as a kid. Mm-hmm. And then I played at a state level, etc. I haven't pursued it that way. Mm-hmm. But I think specifically for sports... I could really relate to the concept of mastery, specifically for, deliberate practice, etc. Obviously, I didn't read the book when I was a kid, mm-hmm. but I could just relate back to everything that he said about the 10,000 hours of practice rule. And therefore, that seemed like the perfectly natural thing. But then it's very difficult to relate that to a regular career. You know, what is 10,000 hours of, is it 10,000 hours of making decks? Or is it 10,000 hours of making pitches?
What 10,000 hours of data entry.
So it's a little difficult for people who are not in a single skill based thing. So maybe, you know, somebody who's cooking or somebody who's a chef or somebody who's an artist or somebody who's a sportsman can really relate to it.
Or somebody who's a writer who writes 3 pages every day is a lot of hours of practice.
So it related to that. And then suddenly you go to the second part of the book, which then says, you know what, the secret to success in life is not hard work, determination, or any of the other things that we are usually fed. Mm-hmm. It's just opportunity.
Yeah.
And opportunity trumps everything else in determining whether who will be successful or not.
Yeah.
Suddenly that again opened up a lot of perspective on saying that, okay, everybody works equally hard or equally determined and disciplined, etc. But maybe the attempt should be to put yourself as much as possible in places where you get opportunity. And maybe the guys who really are successful are the ones who take that chance and the opportunity. And it also humbles you because you know everything that you've done and quote-unquote achieved and everything is a function of the opportunity you got.
I think a lot of... people who are really successful acknowledge it all the time, where they always say that, you know, Jack Ma or Elon Musk or all of these guys, even in Elon Musk's book, he said that there's a time when he almost shut down Tesla because they didn't have enough money. And if they hadn't signed that deal before Christmas, when they came back after the new year, they have to shut everything. But they managed to kind of, and they acknowledge the luck that there's a luck factor that plays in. But I also feel that one thing is to get in front of opportunity. And it's a whole other thing to even take it, you know. Like, there's a lot of people who are exposed to opportunities just by circumstance. And because they are, I guess, thinking in traditional ways or have conventional career paths, that these kind of things don't even occur to them when opportunities are kind of presented. And that's kind of what Outliers also... I had the same kind of epiphany reading
it. I think one thing it has made me strive for is that, am I doing better than everyone who got the same opportunity? So let the benchmark or let the baseline be the people who went to the same schools and did the same kind of degree and the same kind of jobs. But are you rising above this? And I think there's a quote, which is not from the book, it's something that relates to the book, which says that when was the last time you were doing something you had no business doing? When was the last time you broke out of that
mold that you're in?
Comfort zone of yours. And it's a loop, right? If you're there and you're working for 10,000 hours on something, you're there. So being present is equally important to sort of grab an opportunity, right? So I think it works in that flow.
Yeah. So Aditi, the next book you want to discuss is Becoming, an all-time favorite of this year. You know,
yeah.
Michelle Obama has been, she has had the love of the people more than Barack Obama, I think, in their tenure as first vice president and first lady. So tell us about Becoming. How did you, did someone gift you the book or did you just pick it up? Are you a fan? And
yeah, I'm mm-hmm. everything.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, they are like couple goals.
Yeah.
And
they are right. They have some amazing, yeah, like.
They're just amazing. Yeah, like, yeah, you know, I like Barack Obama. I like Michelle Obama. Yeah. So, and she has so much edge.
Yeah.
For a person who has spent so much time under the political spanner,
mm-hmm.
yeah. she is not, she's so unapologetically politically incorrect also.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and
yeah.
and so well done. Yeah. You know, it's
and with a lot of dignity, which
very
is
nice.
Beautiful.
She's so graceful.
Yeah, like, so graceful.
Amazing.
We've forgotten
through
how
writing.
We've forgotten what that means today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I actually had this on audiobook
mm-hmm.
because I felt like she was talking to me.
Yeah.
So that was a privilege I didn't want to give away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I think that's really thanks to technology that you can have yeah. somebody yeah. like Michelle Obama read out a book to you.
You know, I've experienced a few audiobooks and it really feels like you've been mentored personally by that
yeah,
person.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like, after 8-6, like after getting through, like I actually heard Ronnie Skruvala's audiobook mm. on the IBM Podcast Network. And like after a couple of days, like after getting through the book, I was like, man, this Ronnie really had an impact on my life. Man.
It's so, true.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I wrote him a letter saying that, you know what, you really
impacted
my life. You know, I'm also planning to write a book. Will you launch it? This, that. I really expected him to say, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because I mentored you for so many
yeah,
hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Little did I realize. I realized later. He said, I can't launch it, but I'll tweet about it. So that's fair as well. So yeah, tell me a little, are there any particular instances from Becoming that stand out for you? Or
yeah, yeah, there are many. There are just many.
Yeah.
I think, first of all, like when you read Becoming and if you have read Lean In also,
yeah.
there are these things that people talk about, how women talk about that they feel always sometimes they doubt themselves,
yeah.
which also came up in Michelle Obama's book. And I'm like, she also doubts yeah. herself. You know, it's just not me.
Yeah.
And, you know, even Sheryl Sandberg puts it out where women are like, we apologize too much. And she has mentioned some of these elements come through in her book.
Mm.
I really remember the point where, you know, in the book where she meets Obama.
Mm.
And I had to rewind it like 2-3 times. And I remember telling Sandy that, oh, today Obama came. Like, this is like real-time unveiling happening.
Today I met Obama too.
Yeah, now Obama is in the book.
Wow. Wow.
So yeah, there were really a lot of fangirl moments for
yeah.
me. And I think there was this one point where she opens up about some difficulties in their marriage, especially because he was, you know, they were having a little long distance at one point when he was the state's attorney. And so at that point of time that she opens up, that she went for counseling, you don't think your perfect couple
yeah.
actually ever did that. But
yeah.
she opens up and it's very transparent. I mean, it's yeah. what I felt. And those are things that it stays with you.
Yeah, you feel like it's a real story and, you know, it's not just the rosy pictures that we get on social media, but, you know, everybody goes through
the exact same
things. It's just how you react to it.
Absolutely. And she ends it also saying that I will never stand for election and stuff like that. So it's like, it's that very real
yeah.
feeling of right. that the book leaves you with. And again, I chose it also because it was a memoir. So
yeah. mm-hmm. And super inspiring.
Super inspiring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't want to write after reading these books.
Yeah.
You're like, that's it.
Yeah, it's so much pressure. Oh my god.
I don't want to just write those 3 pages every morning, read it myself. That's it.
I think you should record your voice and listen to yourself, and that would be like the new, you know.
Oh, I'm mentoring yeah, myself.
Mentoring yourself.
Oh, wow.
Hi, Aditi, you look beautiful today.
We've reached a new level of
yeah.
This is self-help.
This is that,
literally self-help.
No, it's literally like you need self-help.
Great. Fantastic. So, Sandeep, the book that we want to discuss now is The Siege, and it's by Adrian Levy and Kathy Scott Clark. This book is a very serious book about the 26/11 attacks on Bombay. So, I've actually not come across this book before, but it would seem like a very interesting read.
Yes.
What is this book like, and from what perspective is it kind of written?
Yeah. See, you know, all these people who are like this love for Bombay and mm-hmm. everybody who loves Bombay and like I love Shantaram and mm-hmm. the kinds of people that please read this book.
Mm-hmm.
You may love Bombay after that, you may not love Bombay after that, but you have to read this book.
Right.
I think it shows, of course, it shows the spirit of the people for sure, but it shows the abysmal state of our security, at least at that point in time in 2008. And it shows that this was an incident that was just waiting to happen.
Yeah.
It says that the police in the beginning was so inadequately prepared that they weren't, and they were even, as soon as they heard that they were shooters on the run, the first thing that they had wanted to do was to escape themselves, and the commissioner couldn't find enough people to summon and barricade. There was not enough people because they just had lathis, right? Mm-hmm. So they are just concerned about why am I going and putting myself in the line of fire for this job that pays me $6,000 per month,
right?
And makes me stay in a slum. So I think that really shook me, given that these are the people supposed to protect our city. But then the NSG comes in, and then you feel, yeah, of course, the NSG is the NSG. And then the fact that the NSG doesn't have a role to play or doesn't have a base in Bombay. Now they do.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, they don't have a base in Bombay. So they have to be flown in from Chandigarh.
Mm-hmm.
And Chandigarh, they come to Delhi, and then they take a flight and come to Bombay. And then they don't have a vehicle to take the NSG commandos from the airport. So they take them in a best bus. The NSG commandos come from Chandigarh, Delhi to Bombay. They come to the airport and then they're escorted in a best bus. They come there. There's a lot of things that till 4 a.m. in the morning, they couldn't find the last couple of shooters who had actually caused the maximum casualty. Mm. And no matter what they tried, they just couldn't find where these guys were hiding and shooting. And that's when they realized that the blueprint that the Taj had given them was not the official or the actual blueprint. The official blueprint did not have some constructions that had happened later.
My God.
They found this out. Then they found that, okay, can you get the actual blueprint? Then they found that they had actually made a dome that was different to what the actual blueprint was. They found that they were hiding in the dome.
Wow.
And then they had to blow, they couldn't go and shoot them. They had to blow the dome open. And I'm saying this in great detail because I think people need to know. And then in the morning at 4 a.m., they didn't have explosives.
Mm-hmm.
And this is
the
mind.
Blow the dome away.
They had to wait for explosive, whatever, and they had to do it now. And this is where it blows my mind. At 4 a.m. in the morning, the only place in the whole of the world where the NSG could get explosives was Chor Bazaar.
No way.
Went to Chor Bazaar, got explosives, came, blew open the dome, those two guys dead, and that's the first time that they got some offense or some advantage, strategic leverage to close this down. Otherwise, those two would have continued shooting on.
And I'm sure it wasn't a coincidence that they were hiding in the dome. They must be perfectly aware that Taj has not, that's how well prepared they were and how unprepared, our force was to deal with the situation.
And that's why you saw it blowing up, right?
Yeah.
They wouldn't have needed to blow up the dome
right.
if they had sort of figured it out earlier itself.
Wow. So it seems like we were all around in Bombay during when it happened, right? But it just seems like we are totally unaware. I think this is a great book, like you mentioned.
This
for
is
anyone,
a must read for everyone in Bombay.
Everyone who lives in Bombay.
And especially because we got so many perspectives while it was happening. And media has their own stories to tell. So
this
would be a nice, an actual perspective.
And it's very well researched. He has access to the CIA. Also, there's a lot of prelude into how the planning happened and how David Headley and how the CIA actually was aware of this, but they were so caught up with Osama at that point in time in Afghanistan that this was, India's security was not in the priority list for them. And, so that part also happens, but it just shows that at so many levels, this could have been prevented. And at so many levels, this could have been a significantly lesser casualty than it was.
So great book to kind of like get a real understanding of what happened on that day. Because I think a lot of us
documentary
also...
Documentary in books type.
Yeah. I think a lot of us also who were there, like after it happened, we not sort of gone back and even thought about it. Of course,
I think it was just so painful for everybody that, we've tried to forget
about. So you find a lot of reasons to to be despondent about the fact that our security system is so lax.
Yeah.
But then when you read about Major Sandeep Unnikrishnan and the people who actually finally, with all these limitations, did what they did, you just feel proud again about the fact that, okay, there's somebody who is finally got to take the hit. And even the Navy, the Naval Commandos also helped a lot. It's not just the NSG and the ATS, but the final Marine Commandos also helped a lot.
So tell us a little bit about your favorite authors before we end the show. Who is your favorite author?
For the list of books he's written, it has to be Gladwell, I think even you mentioned, because I've read Blink, Tipping Point, Outliers.
All of them. They're just revolutionary one after the other.
I've read his bad ones also. And I'll read whatever he writes. So.
Right.
Yeah, I think for just his prolific nature of churning out books one after the other.
Consistently, yeah. What about you, Aditi?
So from the non-fiction, it'll be Gladwell, because he actually writes a lot. Right. So from fiction would be Agatha Christie right now, because I am trying to finish a lot of Poirot books.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, from a fiction, definitely Gladwell.
Great. And you mentioned both of you all are storytellers, so where can we listen to your stories?
YouTube.
On YouTube.
So, go to YouTube and type Aditi Guha, or you can text Sandeep Pramesh. You'll find a lot more stories on Aditi Guha, a lot less on it.
This plugin has been very successful.
Great. So thank you very much for being on the show.
Pleasure.
It was great fun talking to you guys. Yes. I think we got
it was a very
interesting perspective.
Yeah, diverse. We went through a lot of genres of books.
Definitely. And a big thank you to all our listeners. You can follow the Open Library Project on LinkedIn, Instagram and Facebook for latest updates on our events. And stay tuned for the next paperback podcast on IVM Podcasts. Happy reading. You can follow IVM Podcasts on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at IVM Podcasts. Listen to paperback on the IVM Podcast app, website or wherever you listen to podcasts.